Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
2014 has been amazing and awesome. The Bulletproof Diet book just came out. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, just go online and order it, or go into your favorite bookseller, even better yet, and do that. I would appreciate it if you do it, because we're still working on the New York Times list, which we did hit. I'm amazed now to be a New York Times bestselling author. Wow. We had our second annual Bulletproof Biohacker Conference. 500 people showed up to learn how to hack the human body. We had brain hacking, we had body hacking, we had all kinds of crazy stuff. It was amazing. I filmed Moldy, the documentary about toxic mold, which talks about exactly what mold in our environment, in our soil, in our food is doing to our bodies, with some of the top physicians and a whole bunch of people who were affected. This is a problem that genetically affects 100 million people in just the US directly, and the rest of us just get sick, but we don't have the genetic effects. The Bulletproof Coffee Shop is under construction. We signed a lease on a new store in Santa Monica. The Bulletproof Biohacker facility here on Vancouver Island is almost done. And that doesn't even feel like half of it. Bulletproof Radio has had an incredible year, and thank you for listening. It just passed 10 million downloads. That is a huge number, and I'm frankly humbled by that. What that means is that if I create content that's a waste of people's time, if you look at 10 million hours, what that is, that's like, I don't know, 40 or more human lives. That means that if I waste your time on the show, that I'm basically guilty of killing 40 people. I'm not going to do that. So going into this next year, I promise you that I'm not going to waste your time. In fact, I'm going to upgrade you with every single episode. I will continue to find the most interesting, amazing guests for you, and I'll ask them the questions that I think you want to hear, and I'm asking you to tell me, who should I interview? What questions do you want to hear? Because that is going to help guide me so that I can keep doing what I do, which is talk to people that I really want to talk to anyway. I want to learn from them, and I want you to learn while I'm learning. This year, we did have some incredible guests on, and I really look to continue that. What I've done for you now, as 2014 winds down, is just taking a look back at all the podcasts from 2014, and I've made a best of compilation. So this show is a bunch of short segments and sound bites from some of the most popular shows, and, well, even more of those. So what you're going to get is a highlight, just the very, very best concentrated dose of Bulletproof. I think you're really going to love this. I'm really stoked with the way it's come together. It's been an amazing year, and thank you so much for listening and telling a friend, and stay bulletproof.
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat Cold Tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Today's guest is an old friend, Dr. Jack Kruse.
One raw oyster has the same nutrient density as a pound of grass-fed liver. Think about that for a minute. I think people need to understand that the brain-specific nutrients that are in an oyster are phenomenal. There is nothing more nutritious on this planet than a raw oyster. So if you're going to supplement, I think using seaweeds are okay. But I eat a ton of oysters, as you know, and I happen to live in an area where I can get oysters. So for me, iodine's never a problem. But for most people, it is a problem. And here's another good thing about iodine that people may not know. The second best food to replenish iodine happens to be pastured eggs.
Today, we've got James Calhoun.
I think there is an ultimate potential within our body. And if we hold the belief that we are powerful beings, that we have an incredible potential within our bodies to self-heal, to operate at peak performances, to be able to break through barriers that people didn't think possible, that is so critical. And the antithesis of that is if you think you're old or frail or ailing. And we see so many people in our culture say that on a daily basis, and that becomes manifest in their life. So I think God resides within you as you are ultimate. You are the number one.
And today we've got JJ Virgin.
Oh, and I also have been doing the Vibe. Is it, what's the thing called? It's
Vibrator. I always think the Voltproof Vibe.
Like,
yeah. You're on.
Vibe. To me, it sounds like a vibrator.
Is that a bad thing?
Not at all. I keep looking at it going, but how does it work? You know? It's so big. But people that can't see this are like, what are they talking about? One, you are never better than when you're challenged. When what happened with my son happened, I had about 24 hours of an incredible pity party, and then I slapped myself and went, all right, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to him and to me and to our family, and what do we need to do to make him recover 110%? And I believe that you don't necessarily need that kind of challenge, but we're never better than when we have that thing to aspire to, and so get it. And don't make it something, you know, make it scary. When I know I've gotten to a place where I'm not scared, I know that I've got to like go push a lot bigger goal out there.
Because we've got Andy Nilo on.
If Dijon mustard is incredible with liver, yeah. And a little curry, a little Dijon mustard, and then the raw liver, dice it up. I mean, it tastes great. I mean, okay. Liver is so bad, right?
Right.
But for some reason, curry and Whole Foods organic Dijon mustard, incredible.
Okay.
That's saying a lot to call liver incredible, you know, as you know. So yeah, that's like my new little thing.
I love it.
Stella Grisant is the founder and CEO of Whoopa.
But what you want to do is kind of just recognize, wow, I'm having a really shitty day. And sometimes it actually helps by labeling it out loud. There was an interesting study that found that when MRI patients were about to go into the tube thing, when the operators would ask them how they were feeling and they actually stated, you know, that they were feeling nervous, they found that their kind of anxiety went down faster than with other participants. So, and I also find that to be true, you know, I find that to be true if you're just kind of open with where you are. So by stating it, you kind of allow yourself to relax and be taken into context. And that really helps move things along.
And I'm talking about Anna Akbari.
Find a way to be present. as often as you can to the people you're with, to yourself. I think that being present and giving someone your attention and your focus is one of the greatest gifts that we can currently give other individuals. And I think that it's very much rewarded and noted. I've had people that I've spent an hour with tell me they can't remember the last time that someone didn't check their phone during that time. And so they feel very special. They feel like they have a connection with you. And you feel that as well as a result.
Across the internet from me is BJ Baker.
They have to make sure they're moving properly.
Okay, so start with movement. Okay.
So movement, I mean, as far as the fitness mm-hmm. and the wellness aspect, moving well is super important. I mean, physiologically, lymphatic drainage, all that stuff, pain, function, I mean, it's super, super important. But that all has to sit on top of, I mean, if you're really talking about the highest possible level, that has to sit on top of good sleep, managing your stress.
Move, sleep, stress, okay.
Move, sleep, manage your stress, have awesome nutrition. Food. But I usually define nutrition, you know, being like science, evidence-based, low inflammation, nutrient-dense, low toxin, immune system boosting, executable, affordable, and sustainable.
There you go. All right? You're a pretty bulletproof there. And this is Steve Folks.
If you're male and you're 40 years of age or older, get an iron assessment. Get your ferritin and your TIBC and your transferrin and free iron measured. You know, look at that whole issue of iron toxicity.
Shouldn't you just donate blood as a general rule? And not well,
I that's okay. how I handle it. Is I get blood three times a year, like clockwork. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those, you know, one of those things that can sneak up and kill you in 2 weeks.
Today's guest is Jan Erwin. And I left Peru no longer feeling the constant gastrointestinal pains. But when I got back to the States, the irritable bowel syndrome and other problems started reappearing right away. And it was a really weird, well, you know, I was totally healthy in Peru. What happened right when I got off the airplane? And so, of course, it was the mycotoxins and the weed and the processed foods. And, you know, of course, the grain-fed beef and all that stuff isn't much better either.
Well, you really have felt it. Okay, cool.
Oh, I mean, I am. You could call me somebody who is extremely hypersensitive to toxins in the environment. So, you know, if I get something bad, I pretty much react immediately.
I got it. So you've got the canary genes. Not so fun.
Today's guest is Anise Kavanaugh.
The number one thing before you go out on stage, before you go into that meeting, before you do anything, is if you can stop and get present and actually just be in your body. You know, as cliche as that sounds, to really be in your body in this present moment and to notice what's happening for you. You know, what are you believing? What are the thoughts that you're having about the audience? You know, are they scary? Do you want to contribute to them? You know, whatever your thoughts are, if you can get present to how you're feeling about that audience and you can get present to your breath and your physical body, then all of a sudden that presence is the first step to be able to go step out and to show up a little bit more powerfully. You add intention into that, Dave. And to me, it's, you know, you're unstoppable once you've got the intention piece.
And this is Helen Erlin of the Erlin Institute.
If you ask me what the best lighting is for the population that I work with, it's indirect natural lighting or incandescent lights, which are being banned all over the world.
I will admit that I might have 1,000 incandescent and halogen bulbs in storage.
That's what a lot of my clients do. They have them in the closet in storage, right?
Yeah, I like being able to see. And I can tell you that the curly lights, those nasty compact fluorescents, not only do they emit a sickly glow, they do reduce human performance even in people who aren't a delicate flower like me. And today's lovely guest is Ari Mysel.
Different productivity systems work for different people, right? So, and I love when, you know, I recommend Evernote a lot of times to people as this sort of external brain resource, I call it, creating the external brain. And I do. I subscribe to that idea that if you have an idea in your head, you should get it out of your head because it's not a good resource for holding on to ideas. It's a great resource for coming up with ideas, but not a really good one for holding on to them. So that's more about getting it out of your head. And I sort of focus more on the the options at your disposal if something comes your way. So it's not so much about like file everything away, create this complex system. But yeah, so you focus on the way that you react to stress, and then you have to set up pathways for those things to take. So if something's going to stress me out because you know, someone's going to call me and say, I have to get this bill paid right away, well, for me, it's very easy. I can say, okay, well, this gets forwarded to this particular person, this virtual assistant or this bookkeeper, and that's an automatic thing that just happens.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Dan Cox has been involved in just about every aspect of the coffee industry.
I think that publicity has turned the corner to where there are more positive attributes to moderation in coffee than negative ones. There's certainly still some negative ones, but the industry is starting to say, hey, wait a second. Everything from colorectal cancer, breast cancer, Alzheimer's, there's some stuff going on here that we need to look at closer.
It is the one and only Mark Sisson.
Well, I would agree that epigenetics is the key discovery point in the last 20 years. This recognition that we're not at the mercy of the gene set that we were given. We're not doomed to have heart attacks because our parents had heart attacks. We're not doomed to get breast cancer just because we have BRCA1 or BRCA2. This is, again, the immense personal power that we possess, knowing how certain genes are expressed based on inputs that we provide, choices, again, that we make. And, you know, your life is just about choices. In Silicon Valley, the choice is to order pizza out, to have a case of Coca-Cola, to program until you fall asleep under the desk and wake up and program some more. You know, that's a choice. And yeah. And if truly that's your choice and you're willing to accept all of the potential negative consequences, then who am I to argue with your choice?
It's Ben Greenfield.
And this would be based off of research that has been done to show what single variable is the most important in making you live longer. And that would be none of the things that we just got done talking about, but instead the amount of love and relationships in your life. Quality relationships, either with your loved one or with your kids, going out of your way to, you know, to give hugs, to hang out with friends, to build your social network. That is the single most important thing you can do. You know, I like the book Never Eat Alone, for example, which is really good at just kind of helping you get outside your comfort zone, go out, meet people, build relationships, and also ensure that the relationships in your home are really, really quality.
Our guest here, Dr. Suzanne Bennett.
When it comes to skin allergies, it could be also because you've got a load of bad bacteria and yeast growing in your gut. And when that happens, it's, you know, we poop, they poop too. So they've got toxins that they're spewing out. And those toxins we can absorb. And in your gut, if you don't know this, but in the gut, there is actually a portal vein in your large intestine. And that portal vein is a connection from the large intestine to the liver. So if you don't poop very well and you don't have good bowel movements, at least 1 to 2 a day, big ones, then you're going to absorb those toxins and waste products back into your liver. And where does it go? Swims around and goes into the one of the biggest excreting elements and tissue in our body, which is our skin.
Thing here is today's guest is Dan Hurley.
You know, people say, "Oh, well, I do Sudoku," or "Oh, I do crosswords," or "I'm playing Tetris." You know, we all.
Yep.
And I just think if that person was just doing a working memory task, this would actually be literally making them smarter while they're having some fun. Learning a musical instrument, there's a number of good studies showing that learning to play an instrument is really great. Not just picking up your guitar and playing the old Beatles songs or, you know, the Grateful Dead, but actually learning a new instrument. And again, it's the learning and growing and getting better at something that where the gain really seems to come in.
By the way, this is Amanda Allen. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Well, there's only so many hours a day that you can train. So say I'm training 4 hours a day. Well, look, there you go. I've got another 20 hours of the day to screw it up or to get it right. And I spend those 20 hours, you know, being a beast at recovery.
And do you really train for 4 hours a day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Today's guest is Dr. Kate Rayom Blue.
Try natto.
You might hate it, but you might love it. And Dave, you were pretty cagey there. You actually didn't admit whether or not you're eating it. I'm guessing you're not. But it's worth a try for everyone if you can find it and try it, because you might like it and you'll be much better off for it.
But truth be told, if I'm at a sushi restaurant and they have natto, I eat it sometimes, but I wonder if the soybeans are genetically modified or not, because I try not to eat them. So I don't know the right answer to do there.
Fair enough. And if you can find organic natto, which would be made with non-GMO soybeans, and I also know people that are making their own or using things like black beans and using the natto culture and making their own ferment with the natto culture.
Today's guest on the show is Pedram Shojai.
You know, we live in this culture where we are constantly trying to give people our power and say, tell me what to do. And, you know, part of my central message and a lot of the stuff that I do and I know you do is trying to empower people to wake up to their own potential, right? Wake up to their own kind of inner truth and learn from the wise, but then really look at how that applies in their own life and really step into their own ability to make better rational decisions and make better food decisions and all of it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want people walking around like zombies. You know, we're in the business of waking up the zombies.
Yeah. Today's guest is Dr. Sarah Gottfried, MD. Okay, you all want to turn on your video now. Oh my God, you have to see this on iTunes or on YouTube. Okay, you're holding a giant vagina.
Okay, it's a velvet vulva. It's not my vulva. It's a vulva of color. And there's the clitoris, so yes. You know, a lot of women think, especially in perimenopause when they start to get dry, they think they need to start frosting themselves with estrogen. But it turns out your androgens are way more important. So you are right. The testosterone, you got to be careful. You don't want to have clitoromegaly where you start to grow a penis.
Yeah.
But yeah, putting it on, especially where you have the androgen receptors on the clitoris. Can you see that, Dave?
Oh,
the
totally.
Labia minora.
It's and a great big clitoris.
It's a great, you can't miss it. And there's the G-spot. See the ruffly pink stuff? Don't forget the G-spot. And then right here, the opening, the introitus, that's where you have a ton of androgen receptors kind of based on embryology. So that's where you got to put it.
Today's guest is Stephen Kotler.
You know, people compete against the wrong things. People have this, they compete against their peers. Never compete against your peers. Figure out who's the very best in the world at what you want to do. That's your competition. Everything else is besides the point. Figure out. So to me, it's extreme goal setting, relentless hard work.
Run by Shayna Alverson.
Yeah, we've had multiple people at our gym alone that have lost over 100 pounds. They're in the triple digits of weight loss. So
that's so and awesome. Talk about life.
We had one girl that actually didn't break through. She had kind of plateaued at 200 pounds, but was obsessed with getting below 200 pounds. And we made her bring us her scale. So it lives at the gym now. She's not allowed to weigh herself. And it wasn't until she did that she broke through the plateau. And now she's under 200 and has stayed there and continued to, you know, become a better shape. But it's so easy to get focused on that number that really doesn't mean anything.
Our guest is Bree Schaaf.
So the big thing is, I think my trainer kind of looked at my lady fat deposits, you know, the typical triceps, hips, and said, okay, let's try keto to see if we can adapt those hormones. And then I won the big prize of I ended up postmenopausal in my estrogen levels throughout the entire actually training season and bobsled season.
Now, you did that on purpose, though, for performance,
yes.
Right?
Right, because as a female, like, the whole goal was actually to get rid of our cycles, because it's proven that as a female, when you're on your cycle, you're not quite as strong or as explosive. And if you can keep that consistent as well as, you know, get the right, it's not as necessarily, I mean, if you can increase testosterone, great, but it was more about decreasing estrogen. It's not like my testosterone jumped up a whole lot, but estrogen plummeted, which was, it was awesome, because then I could consistently train and really keep track of my body and how the food was affecting it.
I am talking about none other than AJ Jacobs.
I tested out Google Glass, and you can send yourself little messages. And what I like to send myself a message is like, are you using your mind wisely? Because, you know, a lot of times I'll be in the line at the drugstore and I'll be like, so angry at this woman because she doesn't know how to swipe her credit card. And then I'll get a little ding from myself, a little email saying, you know, what are you thinking about right now? And that sort of snaps me out. And I'm like, you know what? This is such a waste of my mental energy. I could use this time to do something productive. You know, you don't actually have to. You can use your downtime to think of interesting thoughts. So I do like that idea. It's sort of the outsourced conscience.
Kate Shanahan is also author of Deep Nutrition.
And what our grandparents did or didn't do influences our health. And so when we have these star athletes that, you know, they're 6'10" and perfect bodies and, you know, 6% body fat, and yet they eat 24, you know, the equivalent of 24 Hershey's candy bars a day, as Dwight Howard did, it just doesn't seem to add up. You have to ask, well, how can it matter? How can what you eat matter if that's the case? But the fact is that that does have a cost. It's just that it's not necessarily immediate, right? And in those people who have genes that have been well nourished for generation after generation, it's like they've got a fortress a fortress of health that has been built.
So, hey, Mark David, welcome to the show.
Because the obesity paradox is essentially saying that within a certain range of being overweight, those overweight people are slightly longer lived than their lesser weight counterparts. It's a mind bender. It's an absolute mind bender. Scientists hate this because we have an immune response to this thing called extra weight. We are so fat phobic that it colors our intellect, it colors our scientific thinking. If you're in either end of the spectrum, either end of the bell curve, extremely obese or extremely skinny, expect to have a shorter lifespan, expect to have more health challenges. Once you get slapped in the middle, it's a weird zone.
On the show, we have Josh Del Sol.
With regards to EMF and electromagnetic radiation in general, use Wi-Fi, your Wi-Fi router as little as possible, if at all. Use wired. Same thing with your computers themselves on your laptop. Turn off the Wi-Fi when you're using the computer if you can, and just plug it in. You know, there's been studies that show when you have a computer on your lap, the sperm count literally, you know, it tangibly and measurably goes down. That's scientific knowledge based upon pure science. So, like, but it's basically, you know, recognizing the sources of the radiation and also the magnetic fields. In addition to the high frequency, you know, Wi-Fi or microwave fields, the magnetic fields that come from things like clock radios and various devices, which you don't really want to have close next to your head when you're sleeping. Use your phone if you can, get a good headset, or use it on hands-free.
Today's guest is Joe DeSena.
You've got to delay gratification. You know, the cookie test, the marshmallow test they did in the 60s on kids.
Oh yeah. Right?
So you can't hit the snooze button in the morning. You can't have that extra glass of wine at night. You've got to learn to delay gratification. I've been an expert at this for most of my life. And I bet you find most of the people you interview, and even the people listening, the executives, are probably really good at delaying gratification.
Today's guest is Dr. Grace Liu.
But our brain got bigger, and as you know, we have a brain in our gut. And if both are broken, that's a big problem. That ties in with the gut. So the underground storage organs, they're full of resistant starch. And there's no doubt in my mind that we've evolved probably eating them. And if you look at the primary core microbiome, the main ones that are associated with anti-inflammation and high amounts of butyrate production, which is one of these saturated fats, short-chain saturated fats, their preferred food is actually butyrate. They love to make butyrate, but they make it from resistant starch. If you give them different kind of fibers, it's the resistant starch that they will break down immediately, super fast, ultra fast.
It was that butyrate thing that got me all excited, because one of the reasons that I put butter in Bulletproof Coffee is butter is one of the biggest dietary sources of butyrate.
Invited Tom Corley.
The beliefs that we hold inside of us in our subconscious mind, those limiting beliefs hold you back in life. I don't know if you ever heard of Brian Tracy, but the guy wrote a book called The Psychology of Achievement, and it came out with an audio program.
Yeah.
That actually, if it wasn't for Brian Tracy and that Psychology of Achievement, I would not have passed the CPA exam, because at the time I was under the impression I was dumb. You know, I grew up in a family of eight. I had, you know, a lot of older siblings, and there was, they did not miss an opportunity to call me an idiot. So I grew up honestly thinking I was an idiot. No, even though I occasionally got straight A's, I thought, you know, that was fluky. So I think your limiting beliefs that you take with you into your adult life, I think those, the limiting beliefs are the things that hold us back the most.
This is Aaron T. Joe.
Tell us about your love dyad.
Okay, so knee to knees, love dyads, like eye to eye, like just deep breathing. We sink our breaths, maybe 2 to 3 minutes of just like deep eye contact and really establish that love bond, because, you know, the days are so busy and we're traveling a lot, and I travel a ton for some shows or projects. So just reestablishing our connection is really key. And then maybe some exciting fantasy action, but that's for another topic and time.
And that'll put you to sleep, all right? I get
right,
it.
Right.
Dr. Terry Walls.
So we're going to go back 1.5 billion years. The Earth's covered with a terrible poison, which is killing off large swaths of life. There are a few bacteria that have adapted to this toxic poison, and they've learned how to use the poison oxygen more efficiently in generating ATP. These ancient bacteria are engulfed by other bacteria, and they develop a symbiotic relationship. This new bacteria will evolve over time to become animals, and eventually us, of course. So that means all of our cells have these ancient bacteria that help us generate adenosine triphosphate. So our mitochondria are really bacteria. And in the most energy-intensive cells, our brain, our retina, and our heart, we have about 10,000 mitochondria per cell.
Today's guest is Brian Rose.
I was having a good time, but, you know, I was about getting that 5.0 GPA or a 4.9, and I was like, I had to get everything right, and I was looking at a career on Wall Street afterwards, and I was like super motivated. I was really intense, and quite honestly, I was really selfish too in retrospect. And I think my first 10 years, I to a certain extent, I was trying to put a square peg into a round hole, and I was I need to get out of my own way sometimes. And also, I think I needed to give a bit more. And I wish I had done that sooner. I wish I had just thought, Brian, you know, take it down a notch and maybe just try to get out of your own way, because you're doing all the right things, but then you're ripping yourself down like here and there. And the second thing is try to help some other people and try to give a little back.
Donna Gates is...
Well, I think fermented foods, of course, are a must. And food combining, I think, is a great thing to do, because if you eat a meal, let's say a typical sandwich with a piece of meat in the middle of two pieces of bread, that's very hard to digest. Let's say you eat a piece of chicken with rice and gravy, or a steak with a baked potato. That's a really complex meal. Typical American breakfast on the weekends is orange juice, maybe pancakes, French toast or something, maybe some eggs and bacon. That's really hard for the body to digest. So I'm a big believer in food combining. And I think using digestive enzymes is very smart. Those would be my three top things I'd say to do.
Today's guest is Peter Sage.
One of the fastest ways to unhappiness that I see predominantly as the major obstacle in most people's level of fulfillment is trying to get somebody else to be, do, have, or behave in a way that you want them to be, do, act, or behave. And we tend to forget that, you know, we perceive our world through our five senses, and they can be different for every single other person. So the obvious question to ask, to flag up or to remind people that, you know, we create our own reality moment by moment, is how many of us all like the same food? We've got a variable instantly. How many of us all like the same music? How many of us all have the same favorite color? Now, how many of us all like the same smell? From that sense, you come to a conclusion, an unavoidable and inescapable conclusion, that two people could be standing side by side, inhabiting pretty much the same space, in the same moment in time, experience the same event or experience in the outer world, use the same equipment to process that event called the five senses, and come up with an entirely different conclusion as to what that, you know, that means, or you know, what that experience effect is for them.
Those guests would be Richard Nicolai and Tim Steele.
Yeah, resistant starch is it's a starch granule that's found in a lot of different plants, potatoes, bananas, nuts, grains, different anything that's starchy kind of has a characteristic of resistant starch in there. And when the plant is not cooked, and when it's in its raw state, the starch granules are intact when you eat them, and they resist digestion by your stomach acid in your small intestine, and they end up in your large intestine where they serve as food for your gut bacteria.
I'm talking about Judy Schwartz.
I mean, when you start to think about the parallels between our guts and the soil, it can be kind of mind-blowing. There's one fellow that I talked to who talks about the soil as the digestive system of the plant. I mean, that's kind of an interesting kind of twist too. I spoke with a doctor who said that she was completely blown away to realize that when she did a soil test for land, that it looked like the lab tests for her patients, because it's all the same stuff. So when you buy a vitamin or supplement that might be magnesium, it might be calcium, these are all elements that are needed in healthy soils too.
It's Dr. Richie Shoemaker.
Collected statistics on over 10,000 cases and 2,000 controls, and we've looked at the genetic makeup that these folks have. The immune response genes, or HLA-DR, is a series of areas on chromosome 6 that are understudied, but remarkable in what they're doing as far as taking a foreign particle, an antigen, and processing it so that our immune response can make an antibody to it. And in this group of HLA-DR, we see consistently 24-25% of people cannot make adequate antibody responses, and they're the ones that comprise over 95% of people who have an illness from water-damaged buildings.
He is Tim Ferriss, the New York Times bestseller. So, are smart drugs like fire?
I think they actually are. That's a great analogy. I think they're like fire, or they're like a really sharp chef's knife. I think that they can be used for benefit, and they can certainly be used to severely damage yourself and other people. I think that the dose makes the poison, right? So a controlled fire is one thing versus a fire that consumes your house and everyone in it. The judicious and intelligent use of, say, a scalpel or a kitchen knife is one thing, as opposed to running with a pair of scissors and landing and having it go through your head. Yeah. And you can look at use of smart drugs and find both good examples, informed examples of use, and very haphazard examples of use. And a lot of it comes down to, number one, doing your homework, and number two, experimenting and having some ability to track. And in my case, I do very extensive blood testing, among other things, and tend not to go more than 4 to 8 weeks without blood testing.
We've got Andy Nilo back on.
So the bentonite removes impurities. You have any type of toxins from the air that we're breathing in, say you come back from a flight and you got all that radiation from airports and all those little scans that you got to go through. I always make sure that I do one when I get back from the airport or from a trip around the country because of that. And it's just, it if I'm in, a type of funk because of those toxins, it helps remove those impurities from the system.
So we have two guests today, Dan Lewandowski, Dr. Philip Westerling. Let's say on your right side, your left arm is flopping up here somewhere. You can put it on top of your head, you can put it down. What do you do with the top arm for optimal sleep?
Keep it out of your nose.
Darn, I had that wrong. All right.
Oh, put it wherever it's comfortable.
One of the ways of looking at the likelihood of having sleep apnea is simply by looking at the tongue, and if they have scallops, and scallops are little grooves in the side of the tongue, what it means is your tongue is pushing up against the side of your teeth all day, and it just means that the combination of what you're genetically predisposed to in your orofacial structure makes it more difficult for you, and it will also increase the likelihood of you having sleep apnea.
This week, I'm joined by Zach, who works for Bulletproof.
Well, one of the things that's always top of mind for me in my biohacking is sleep. Everybody knows how important sleep is, and talk about it a lot on the Bulletproof Exec blog. And so I use Sleep Cycle app, which is just, on your iPhone. It's, I think, $2. It's not the most accurate data, but it gives you a plan and how to track your sleep, at least knowing what some of the changes are, what the effect is on your sleep quality. So you can look at things over time and know, okay, well, if I tweak my diet here, or if I add, honey, like you had recommended a couple of years ago on the blog in the evening, then I can actually increase my sleep quality. So I've got all this sleep tech in my bed around tracking with the Sleep Cycle app and the Bedit sensor.
Is Andy Nilo.
I have to go to the dentist often to get my bite adjusted. I mean, my lower jaw was through the bottom of my mouth, like exposed, gnarly teeth, bone. It was disgusting, right?
You can't tell. Like, when I look at you, it's amazing.
Thanks. I'm very grateful. So, but what they did is they reattached that bone and put it back together, but my teeth were still way off. My bite was way off. It's still off, man. When I smile, the bottom of my teeth hit my front teeth, and I got to kind of push it back. Like, this is stuff that I don't complain about. I'm just so stoked to be able to chew and whatever. If my teeth hit each other and I got to push them back when I smile, that's okay. But it does kind of suck to have to adjust your smile in the middle of a happy moment, right? So it's okay. So that's just something I got
to
do.
It's my pleasure to introduce today's guest, William J. Walsh.
Most psychiatrists and most people in society don't realize how powerful nutrients can be if you find out what's gone wrong. And the beauty of it for us, a really lucky thing, is that out of the 300 or more nutrients that are really important in the body, there's only a handful that are strikingly important in the brain. And so we don't need to test all 300 nutrients. There's really only about 6 or 7 that dominate mental function. And the testing for a really nice battery of lab tests of blood and urine, it only costs about $300 or $400.
Studios sitting next to Arianna Huffington.
Recent scientific findings are telling us is that women internalize stress differently. So women in stressful jobs have a 40% greater risk of heart disease and a 60% greater risk of diabetes. And I was so struck by this scientific finding that I used it twice in the book, in two different contexts, because I feel we really need to pay attention to that, because as women, it means we have less of a margin to live life from a stressful, burnt-out place. And one of the reasons is that we all have that voice of judgment and self-doubt in our heads, but in women it's particularly loud and harder to basically shut off. I call this voice the obnoxious roommate living in my head. And, I've dealt with it to the point where it now only makes guest appearances. But I think it's really important to recognize that, because that voice drains a lot of energy increases stress, we have less margin.
His name is Steve Omohundro.
We're in a really interesting period where technology and science are doing amazing things every day. There's 5 new amazing results coming out 50 years ago, each one would have been like, the highlight of the year. Today, they're coming out every day. I mean, just remarkable. And so we have these incredible advancements. At the same time, I think a lot of people are not doing very well. I mean, mental illness is about a factor of 6 up from what it was in 1938. Marriages, half of them end in divorce. So there's a lot of signs that our society and our technology are really not supporting the true compassionate, happy nature of our population. And I see technology is partly responsible for that, and also as the potential solution to that. That, as it gets...
I know what you mean.
Today's guest on the show is none other than David Gottfried.
That new car smell is not good for you. It's all the adhesives, and even your new car, if you have a garage, I would keep the windows open for about a month. And keep that stuff out of the nursery, the new press board crib. Buy an old recycled one with solid wood that's off-gassed for 10 years already. That's what we did. But all the stuff adds up. It makes you sick. It does lessen your brain focus and your health and productivity.
Today's guest is Nora Gedgaudas.
The idea that we need glucose in order, as a primary source of fuel in order to function, it's a myth. And it's a kind of a conditionally, it's only conditionally true. It's only true if we have cultivated a rather unnatural dependence on glucose as our primary source of fuel. We're actually born in a state of ketosis.
Yes.
Okay? that's the way we come into the world. And we don't start utilizing glucose as a brain fuel until carbohydrates, or as a primary brain fuel, until carbohydrates are actually introduced.
Today's guest is Dr. Isabella Wentz.
A lot of our shampoos with all kinds of gunk and junk in them, they can cause you problems. So I know that I was using just every product known to man because I was reading these, magazines that were telling me that I wasn't pretty enough or I wasn't smart enough and I needed to buy every single shampoo to make myself much better. And we end up, the average woman ends up with so much stuff in her bathroom. I don't know what the average is. I think something like 100 or 200 items. And, we're putting all this chemistry on ourselves and we're absorbing it. And so, you're really looking at all of that stuff you're putting on your skin is getting into your bloodstream. So that's basic pharmacology is, you're going to absorb that and it's going to bypass the liver. So it's going to go directly into your bloodstream and that can cross react with your thyroid tissues and that can cause damage.
Today's guest is none other than Jeffrey Miller.
It's weird. In a sense, it's a lot more natural to find a partner that way than to go to a bar and get drunk and try to talk to somebody when there's a lot of background noise and when everybody's anxious and everybody knows it's a meat market, right? At least with online dating, you can kind of say, hey, here's me, here are my preferences, here's what I do, here's what I'm looking for. And I think that is more similar to a kind of natural mating style because remember, in prehistory, you would hardly have ever met a stranger,
yeah.
Right? Anybody you meet, you would have heard about already sort of indirectly through family or friends or, oh, there's this cute guy in the clan on the other side of the hill.
Today's guest is Jeffrey Bland.
If you're not trying to get a doc that's just driving for the diagnosis to give you the pill or surgery for that particular disease, but you really want to know, how do I make this organism called me work as effectively as possible for as many years, compress illness in but the last few seconds of my life, and then move on at some terminal age after 100 to the next level of my challenge, my energy. If that's your objective, then the question I think as a patient you need to ask the doc is, are they interested in your lifestyle? Are they interested in what you eat, how you think, where you live, what you breathe, what you drink, your social interactions? Are they really doing more than just paying lip service in a 3-minute conversation about do you smoke and are you overweight? But they're really going into the narrative, which is your story.
Today's guest on the show is Matthias Ribbing.
The basics of this is to teach your brain how to think in images. to train your visualization skills, because what you do then in the brain, by visualizing images, you get like a shortcut to the long-term memory. So by thinking in images, so then the brain can take in a lot of information quick. So this is the interesting, when you compare our five senses, our sight, seeing sense, is the most important to the brain. And this is true for everyone. You can actually see that three of each neurons, all the neurons that work with one of our senses, actually three quarters of them all work with our sight.
Ground was none other than Daniel Vitalis.
But the term rewild, it means, I have it actually here, rewild, a verb, means to restore to its natural uncultivated state. So as I see it, you know, the word rewilding has an antonym, and that'd be domesticated. Domesticated means like domicile. The word domestic, that same word as domicile, refers to a house. Domesticated means of the house. And for about 6 to 10,000 years, human beings have been not only domesticating plants and domesticating animals, maybe inadvertently, we domesticated ourselves. And here's the crux of the whole thing and the important piece and why I'm into this idea of rewilding. We understand that the lettuces we eat, let's say romaine lettuce, we understand that's not a natural organism anymore. That's a domesticated human biological artifact that's drawn out of the wild lettuce, Lactuca cereola. And we've created Lactuca sativa, the domestic version. My postulation is this. Human beings, as we exist today, or I like to call us the moderns, are not actually Homo sapiens, but we're a subspecies that is domesticated. So I call us Homo sapien domestico fragilis.
Nice.
The fragile domestic Homo sapien subspecies.
I thought you were going to say Homo sapiens wussicus or something. But
well, basically, yeah.
About Jimmy Moore, today's guest.
Well, and we got to stop groups like the American Heart Association putting out radio ads. I heard one just on my radio earlier driving in the car where they're still saying, you know, we need like a health meter when you're buying foods. And when you buy healthy fats like canola oil and corn oil and replace have those as the replacement for your butter and those other unhealthy saturated fats. So we're getting kind of this reinforcement of the negative message about what kind of fats are healthy. You know, in Keto Clarity, we're quite adamant about high fat, but I'm quite adamant that we're talking about saturated and monounsaturated fats primarily. Of course, omega-3 fats are in there as well. Not vegetable oils. Cholesterol Clarity, hopefully we scared you half to death to ever want vegetable oils, because they are highly inflammatory and causing all sorts of problems. Yes, they're lowering your LDL-C, but at the expense of increasing your inflammation. So you got to be discerning about what you mean by high fat, and we try to give people good guidance on that in Keto Clarity.
Her name is Amber Lyon.
The key to psychedelics is not just taking the psychedelic and going through the experience. It's how you integrate it after the experience, the knowledge and this incredible insights you've been given. What do you do with those afterward? And that's why it's great to have a trained healer or trained individual who knows a lot about the medicines with you, so they can help you come up with your plan of action after you've had these experiences.
And today's guest is none other than Mark Hyman.
In the past, we used to call cars horseless carriages. Today we call medicine, functional medicine is the right medicine. It will be called just medicine, because it's really understanding the root causes of disease. Right now we practice medicine by symptom. If you have a symptom, then we make a diagnosis. What functional medicine does is says, wait a minute, we're not a bunch of collection of different organs. We're an organism. We're a system. We're an integrated system. And we have to understand what the roots of disease are. Not just the branches and the leaves, we want to get to the roots. And so functional medicine is a methodology of thinking about how to get to the root cause of illness.
Those would be Joy and Jay.
There are plenty of tonic herbs that people may have at home in the spice rack that they're, you know, they don't even think of as tonic herbs. You know, turmeric is one of the greatest tonic herbs in the Ayurvedic system. Most people will have that in their kitchen. Cardamom, cumin.
Black pepper.
Yeah, a lot of these things, black pepper, you know, people can use as spices, and we use those certainly all the time. And then kind of using the herbal extracts that we use also, and infusing the food with that is you know, that's a next step and next level. But people are really familiar with a lot of spices that have incredible medicinal effects.
I'm Dave Asprey, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Radio Short Report. Another thing to think about is that
It's not an excuse to say, I don't have time. It's not optional to nourish your mind and body. You're going to spend time eating. Either you're going to eat crap or you're not going to eat crap, and it's up to you.
It's Andrea Herman.
Well, industrial hemp is cannabis. It's same as marijuana is cannabis. So hemp or industrial hemp and marijuana, those are just common names that we call portions of the cannabis plant. So the legal delineation is really based on the percentage of THC present in the flowering parts. That's what legally defines industrial hemp all around the world where legislation is in place. So we have in Canada in the field sample, it's 0.3% THC or 3,000 parts per million. And then further from that, once you know that the derivatives or the protein powder, the hemp oil, the hauled hemp, shelled hemp, hemp hearts, that all has to be tested also for THC. That's in our federal regulations here in Canada. The U.S. regulations, most all of the state regulations also base it on 0.3%. And then if you look in Europe, it's 0.2%. Or if you look in Australia, it's 1% THC, all based on THC levels that makes it industrial hemp or then falls under outside of the industrial hemp regulations and can be picked up in some sort of other regulation.
Today's episode is one of my favorites because we're going to just talk about biohacking. Zach, what's up, man?
What's up, Dave?
Have you been doing any cool biohacks lately?
Yeah, actually, I have. I had this idea about using the upgraded focus brain trainer to track my focus while I'm playing the piano. I did a couple tests. I put on the strap and measured the blood flow to my prefrontal cortex, which is an indicator of focus, and played piano. I was a little surprised because it actually went down quite a bit, the focus did. And I did a couple of tests, one where I did the training for 5 to 10 minutes using the feedback and then played piano. And then I also did it, played the piano first, and then did the training. And in every scenario, the focus went down while I played. The other thing that I did was played a song that I had memorized that was an actual song versus just an improv. And when I did improv, it went down even more. So when you're playing music and if that gets you sort of into that state of flow, you actually don't use as much of your focus part of your brain. It just becomes automatic. And so that was kind of cool.
Today's guest is Nina. And Nina, I'm just going to freely say I cannot pronounce your last name even after trying. So would you please pronounce your last name perfectly for our listeners?
It's pronounced Ty Scholes, like a tie you wear, and Dr. Scholes shoes.
That is the best mnemonic ever.
We have become so much sicker, obviously sicker. And one of the stories now that nutrition experts tell us, they basically have two kind of ways that they shift the blame away from their own bad advice. And one of them is, you Americans, you are fat because and diabetic because you don't work hard enough. You're all eating junk food and you don't exercise enough. So it's your fault. And one of the things that I document in my book is, we have reduced our saturated fats by 11% over the last 30 years. We have increased fruits and vegetables by 17%, and we've increased carbohydrates by 25% as we've been told. You know, we have followed that food pyramid, eating most of our calories in that big bottom slab. You know, at the same time, we're clearly fatter and sicker. So how can that truly be our fault?
None other than Jordan Harbinger.
People on the other side of the fence who either don't like the secret game being played or don't know about the secret game. If you're sitting there and you're going, I don't need to network when what I'm doing because blah, blah, blah. You just don't know the secret game being played around you. And if you don't like it, it's because you're last picked for kickball, most likely, because a lot of people go, yeah, it's all about who you know. It's not what you know. That's a bunch of BS. I hate that. And you know what? I say, thank goodness it's all about who you know, because now I don't have to be a guy who works 85 hours a week grinding away at a technical skill, because if you're in a job that requires even a billable hour-centric job like a lawyer, if you have the people skills, people go, ah, you're now officially the exception to the billable hours rule. Because you're the only guy who can sell the firm.
Melinda Culver. And Melinda's a veterinarian. Well, actually, let's summarize for dog owners. up to 15% MCT in the diet, pour it on their food, and what happens then is the dogs are less hungry, less food obsessed, and they tend to lose weight, if I'm kind of summarizing this correctly.
And they'll beat you at chess.
Does it actually change their behavior?
It actually, there's been quite a few studies out there demonstrating, especially in the older dogs, the ability for the ketone bodies that are formed from MCT consumption to help in cognitive function.
Shocking that it also works in humans the same way. This is a Bulletproof Radio short report. Your nervous system worries about stuff when you're going to sleep. So your fight or flight response is always kind of keeping one eye open, and it's wondering, what's next? What should I be worrying about? When you lay on something that's sharp like this, these don't penetrate your skin, but they activate the acupressure points, and they make that part of your body go, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm being stung by a million bees. Of course, it's not true, and it's not even that much pain, but it's enough to make your body pay attention. And then when you don't jump up and run away, the body realizes, oh, I guess it's time to calm down. And there's this incredible relaxation that comes when your body relaxes, realizes, oh, I thought there was something in this spiky mat that was somehow risky, but there wasn't. So when that relaxation comes, you get deeper sleep all night long. And it's remarkable. Today's guest is David Epstein.
Most traits are a combination of environment and complex networks of genes. And so I don't think we're going to see a lot of genetic testing quite yet, because you're better off measuring physiology directly, right? Like, you're talking about EPO levels and you know, hematocrit, proportion of your bloodstream that's red blood cells. Those are things you should measure directly rather than looking at the genes that have something to do with them. You know? I always tell people, why test for height genes when you could use a tape measure?
That's brilliant, by the way.
I do think there will be more. Already, we've seen people being slotted into certain sports based on physiology. Only in rare cases do I think that will come directly from genetic testing.
I'm talking about none other than Lewis Howes.
I really am passionate about salsa dancing. It's one of the things that gives me the most energy and allows me to express my creativity more than any other art form. I've been doing it for about 8 years. And I travel all over the world to find the best salsa clubs to dance with random strangers and connect in just a few moments, in 3 to 4 minutes on a song, connect with someone that I've never met before on this language of salsa. And I may not be able to speak the same language with them, but we can connect emotionally and we understand how to dance in unison and we understand how to give and take. That it's just such a powerful experience to create that with a complete stranger somewhere in the world.
Eric Marola and Ralph Moss.
An oncologist from 1974 would hardly recognize the oncology of 2014, because it's all about genes and it's all about targeted drugs and about markers and about growth pathways. And, you know, it's all kinds of fascinating stuff going on at the scientific level, but we haven't cracked the basic problem that Laetrile addressed, stopping the spread of the cancer. There's some very promising leads. Even basic anti-inflammatory drugs may be able to do this, but we don't have any more proof of them either. And I would suggest that has a lot to do with the economics of the situation, that there's very little money to be made from, you know, sort of traditional non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like aspirin.
And if you haven't heard of Kelly Starrett, he's a coach.
And so if you treat something and it's chronically tight, chances are you're not really addressing the problem, you're addressing the symptoms of the problem. And that's why, you know, ART hasn't cured cancer, Rolfing didn't cure cancer, physio didn't cure cancer, because, and I say cancer, I'm talking about movement cancer, because we're not thinking about the other piece of this, the environment, right? Sleep, stress, all of those things we're not talking, right? That seem to matter a full third of the equation. The movement and the movement practice, and then the tissue health. And we've just always just sort of addressed one of those things at a time, but you have to be thinking in terms of the system, and this is why you and I are friends.
Dr. Ben Lynch, today's guest.
I hate folic acid. I don't use that four-letter word very often because it's very strong and very negative and very just not a nice word. But folic acid qualifies. And it qualifies because not only does it have to, is it man-made and it has to go through multiple steps in order to be useful for your body, but when you order a blood test from your doctor and it looks at serum folate or it looks at serum cobalamin or B12, it's garbage. It doesn't mean anything. That's outside your cell. All the action is happening inside your cell. So if you're looking at your serum folate and it's high, you're thinking, oh, that's good. But it's actually not because you don't know what type of folate it is. And especially what can happen is if you're consuming grains, like Dave was saying, or these processed grains or your vitamin drinks with enriched folic acid or your supplements with enriched folic acid. So now you're upwards of a couple grams of folic acid a day. Folic acid binds to these receptors on the cell, which are intended for the good folates, the useful folates, which get in there and actually do some work. Now, folic acid will bind to the receptor, sit there, and it will prevent the good folates from getting in and doing their thing.
His name is Manish Sethi.
Like, if somebody wants to create this habit, I want to check my daily HRV level or anything of that nature, how it works is you would say, all right, I will make a commitment to do this. I will reward myself if I do this. But for the first few days, because I know it's hard to get started, I will potentially inflict a penalty if I don't do it, because that will motivate my ape brain, my animal brain, to do the habit while the positive reinforcement catches it and turns it into a habit. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
I'm talking about Dr. Jade Teta.
Well, the key is the acronym tells you everything, right? Metabolic effect is ME, meaning me, meaning that it is all about you, the individual, finding what works for you. So each person has a different optimal metabolic effect or metabolic response to their diet, to their exercise, to their lifestyle. So this idea in my mind, and really this was a hard won sort of understanding, that we have to have, you know, exercise a particular way, and you can't do cardio because that's going to make your metabolism explode, and you have to only do metabolic conditioning, and if you don't lift weights, this and that, and you got to eat only this way. All of that does is just make you run around with a chicken with your head cut off. So metabolic effect is really, that acronym ME tells you, we're helping you find the diet, exercise, lifestyle inputs that optimize your metabolism.
Our guest, whose name is Leanne Vignier.
When we have cancer in our bodies, the light communication that is happening between our cells is not happening properly. The cancer cells actually scramble the light communication. It sounds very esoteric and woo-woo, but it's actually, if you think of how plants live, how humans live, we're designed to live under sunlight. So many people nowadays are not getting sunlight at all. So we have all of these increased cases of cancer. There's been this whole myth about sunlight is bad for you, causes cancer, and it's totally not true. It actually, lack of sunlight actually causes cancer, pretty much every kind of cancer.
Say, this is Zach Evanish.
To me, you could hit a wall when you are chasing just six-pack abs, or I want bigger biceps, or I want to appear a certain way. But what training does for the way you feel and for how it allows you to perform in life, the confidence it gives you, the strength it gives you to handle stressors in life. You know, what I say is you have kind of struggles in life. You learn through the hard work to turn obstacle into opportunity, struggle into strength. And that is something that I've noticed has disappeared in people, because when you talk to people, especially you, Dave, you speak to people in many different realms, meaning you don't speak to them about just hacking in the way of energy or health or fitness, but you also do a lot of business consulting. And a lot of times where hear people say, it's too hard, I don't have the time, I don't have the resources. It's because they haven't experienced, you know, struggle and how to overcome it. And that's where some hard work, some hard training benefits people. And we're so scared to work hard that it actually hurts people.
Brandon Ralph, who you will probably see very soon here.
Do people think that you're obsessive compulsive about food?
My wife would probably say that at the beginning of this, because I was
over the, I was like, I'm doing this. I'm eating fat. She's like, well, just slow down. You sound like a crazy person. I was like, no, I don't. Like, this is awesome. I feel great. And I was. I was a little crazy. You're right, Courtney. And so I had to walk myself back off the crazy train. And I've, you know, modified a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's also she's been able to see, because I've done testing now. She's like, wow, your cholesterol is like amazing and you haven't had any effects. And I see so many benefits, and she's, you know, on board with it too now. Not that she wasn't before. She's just urging caution.
It's scary. When I first started doing this.
Yeah, I was worried about it. I was worried about it too, but I knew how great I was feeling. So I was like, if I'm feeling so great, how can this be? I'm going to be wrong.
None other than Philip McKernan.
And I'd rather work with somebody who has no goals whatsoever than a laundry list of goals that are unauthentic and things that they think they want because they heard somebody speak about it or they read a book on success. And I think that's one of the challenges in a world today where there's so much information that we're taking the pieces that we think, but we're not necessarily checking and say, are they aligned to who I am? So what I call is intuitive clarity. And the intuitive clarity of what everyone needs to do or wants to do or what's in their soul is within them. It's not me. I don't have the answer. So the first thing I do is I call bullshit with my clients, and I say, you keep telling me you don't know what you want, but I call bullshit. I call absolute clear bullshit.
This is Dr. Doug McGuff.
To answer your question, I think it is always, in exercise, a great idea to strive for a minimal effective dose. Because exercise is pro-inflammatory, okay? If you are a person that is not living life right, not eating right, burning in both ends of the candle all the time, you have to understand that the exercise you're doing, at least in the acute phase, is adding an acute inflammatory event onto a chronic inflammatory state. So when you're making this transition from, let's say you're finally going to say, look, I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to live life right. It's most important for that person to do exercise in a way that invokes a pro-inflammatory state, but does it in a way that allows you to make that transition without chronically heaping more and more stress and inflammation onto a chronically stressed and inflamed body.
Because he's Dr. David Bronner.
Over 99% of genetically engineered crops in U.S. soil engineered to do two things. One, produce insecticide, or two, tolerate herbicide, like huge amounts of herbicide. So it's, you know, and both traits have rapidly created resistance in the respective insect and, you know, pest populations. The insects and the weeds have now developed resistance to these chemicals rapidly, which every weed and pest scientist not on Monsanto and Dow's payroll was warning was going to happen. Much like overdosing antibiotics in factory farms has rapidly created these super germs that are antibiotic resistant. So it's the same thing. It's just this massive blasting of chemicals and herbicides rapidly created this resistance, which, you know, either they're the dumbest people ever or the smartest. I think they saw this coming a million miles away.
Today's guest is Dan Pena. The three most important pieces of advice you'd have for people who want to perform better at whatever they do. That doesn't have to be in business or in sports, just perform better as human beings.
It's only one. Just fucking do it. Don't analyze, don't spreadsheet. In the old days, they used to say, Lotus 1-2-3. Do the kids still remember when
that
means?
Yeah, I do. But.
Okay, just do it. And if there was a sub one, a second one, is focus on the few. Another question that I'm often asked, what's the best advice that you never took that you should have? Okay, and it's focus on the few, not the many. And Costa Gratos told me that when I was, you know, a long, long time ago. Again, God rest his soul. And I thought that he's wrong. I can do 15, 20 things at a time. He was wrong. He was right and I was wrong. So just do it. Don't analyze. Follow your heart and focus on the few, not the many. And you'll be successful. The money will follow.
Former NFL star Bo Eason.
So we at that particular store you're talking about, I was at a fancy birthday party of 5-year-olds, and Axel and I are playing catch, and Axel dropped the ball. And I go, Axel, don't let the ball touch the ground. And he goes, oh, yeah, Dad. So he picks it back up, and we start playing catch again. Well, that upset some of these guys, and they came over and had a little chat with me about how to speak to my son. And they asked me, you know, what did you say to that boy? And I said, well, I said to that boy, who's my son, I told him, don't let the ball touch the ground. And the guy was upset that I said that. And he said, why would you say that to that boy? And I said, I say that to my boy because that's a rule in our house. We don't let the ball touch the ground. And he got more upset. And he said, well, why would that be a rule in your house? Like, that was the most offensive thing ever. And I said, that's a rule in my house because when I was growing up, that was a rule in our house because my dad got us a football every Christmas. And me and my brother would throw it to me 1,000 times every day, and I would catch it 1,000 times every day for the whole year. So that ball, if it touched the ground, was not going to last until the next Christmas, and we weren't getting a new ball if that ball was ruined.
Our guest today is Dr. Robert Rowan.
Ozone is O3. You're breathing O2. Ozone is made by splitting O2, and one of the oxygen goes off and hits an O2, and then it forms O3, which is an unstable molecule that only lasts about 30 seconds. But it's natural. It's nature's most powerful oxidizer. It's a cleanser. It leaves no toxic residue. And believe it or not, your own white blood cells make it. Your immune system makes these oxidants as its defense against invasion. Effects ozone has on the body. Ozone improves the rheological properties of red blood cells. That means the red blood cells become more flexible and you get much better blood flow. I'm an oxygen man. I started ozone, as you said, in 1986, and after my first treatment, I woke up. I realized that the most important thing to the body is oxygen delivery and oxygen consumption.
JJ Virgin, welcome to Bulletproof Radio.
Well, I believe most of us are being duped and that the misinformation is killing America. And I mean, if you just, I'll just give the example of this green drink that literally on the front says no sugar added. And it's Green Boost. It's got a green boost, which really, and if you look at it, it's actually got 4 fruit servings in it.
4?
And in 16 ounces. Now, okay, so a 16 ounce soda has 44 grams of sugar. And a 16 ounce of this green drink has 56 grams of sugar. But the challenge is you look at it just like you look at the jam or you look at any of these things and it says no sugar added. Or if it does have sugar added, what they'll do to distract you is they'll say fat free. So they'll do one or the other of those. So you go, oh, it must be good. Or maybe they'll put organic. So they've got all these things are all natural. You know, all natural is a great one they can use because natural means really nothing. So they can use these different words and, you know, think about the person who's not studying this stuff and trying to make good decisions for their kids.
None other than George Bryant.
I don't think anybody should eat gluten. I think it's stupid. I don't think you need it because I've baked everything without it. I've managed to get things to stay shelf stable without it. Bread still rises. So I can't think of a good need for it whatsoever except to poison control people. And it keeps pharmaceutical companies in business. It keeps diet products in business. And God forbid that people in this world actually cut it out and were healthy and we didn't need all that crap and the good that we could do and the food that we could have and the sustainable food systems that we could create and our kids could go to school and eat lunch without coming home bouncing off the wall or unhealthy or, you know, scared of what can pop up if you do have an allergy. I mean, it's insane. That's my spiel on that one. Outlaw it all.
So gluten, the next tobacco, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, CVS. Now CVS can cut gluten out of their stores, too, since they cut all tobacco out.
And his name's Dave Kalstein.
What is my own meditation? Because if I hold myself to someone else's definition of meditation, I'm never going to get it. So my meditation is I'm writing a script and I'm coming to a point where something in my mind says, time to quit, Dave, or that line sucks, or you should start over. It's my ego. Right, I recognize that now because I'm more aware. My observer persona has been cultivated.
Yeah.
So I can see that without emotion. And so what's my meditation? I do not light candles and incense. I don't even, I have not painted my walls of my room any particular color. What I do is I get up and there's a blade, I have a blade in my drawer and this long and I take it out to my backyard and I move with the blade. And I don't want people to think that I'm moving like Bruce Lee because I'm not. It's moving meditation. It moves like this. You barely see it moving.
Pedram Shojai.
Because I have someone who's driving a lethal weapon swerving into my lane at 80 miles an hour, and I got my kid in the back. That's serious, right? And so it's like this, I'm like, for me, the closest thing to the jungle in modern society is the freeway.
The 405.
Right? The 405, right? Because there's just like, there's chaos coming everywhere, and death is like at your doorstep if you're not careful. So you have to be heightened awareness and all this. You're not texting, you're not whatever. And, you know, outside of that, though, it's like, yeah, sure, I mean, you walk down the wrong dark alley, you live in a bad neighborhood, that stuff happens, but we've insulated ourselves from death, right? Whereas over there, man, a wrong step, you're done, you're lunch, right? So you have to learn about how to calibrate your stress bucket. For us here, you know, it's like, oh, that Verizon bill came in and the kids texted too much and, you know, I gotta pay all this money, I'm all stressed out, versus lion eating your neck.
Stephen Kotler. One of the craziest experiences I ever had, I was rock climbing and I was very exposed. I was high above my protection, so if I took a fall, it was kind of a death fall, and the rock I was holding onto pulled out of the wall. And I was about 50 feet from the top, and the boulder was heading right at my training partner. So I screamed, rock. He dove out of the way, and the last thing I remember is I was moving backwards, kind of off the wall, and the next thing I knew, I was 40 feet above me, on my belly, crawling towards the anchors. And I have no memory of what happened, and he dove out of the way to avoid the rock, so he has no idea.
Wow.
Right? Totally checked my brain out, and, you know, I got to the top of the climb, but it had, I mean, literally, I wasn't even there. I have no memory of it. And you know what? When I was on top of the rock, I was like, well, okay, this is either like divine intervention, but I sure didn't, like, doesn't that usually come with a sense of like,
there's no
angels are coming down and saving your ass, you know, like, and there was none of that. And I was like, well, and there were no aliens who picked me up in their spaceship because I, you know, you kind of...
You look for implants.
Right? None of that. So I was like, all right, this must be like natural, but I have no, I still to this day, I still have no idea how I got to the top.
That our guest is none other than Brad Pilon.
Right. So the body's introduced to a small stress, and that small stress actually has beneficial effects. If the stress were to get too large, it would become a negative on the human body. But a small amount tends to allow the body to learn to adapt. And I think that a lot of what happens in brief periods of fasting, so maybe not a prolonged fast, but a brief one, tends to follow this kind of hormetic curve when it applies to the brain, when it applies to autophagy, when it applies to even inflammation responses, all of these areas. I think it's that small, brief stress that causes the what we consider a beneficial long-term adaptation. I don't think it's much different than a weight training session.
Is Holly Thompson.
I generally prefer to do whole food cleanses. If someone is already, you know, if it's already almost vegan, then we might add in more liquid nutrition than if they, you know, if they're an omnivore and eating meat three times a day. I do like the idea of giving the digestion a rest. I love the idea of removing those inflammatory foods that are commonly inflammatory in most people. And the reason I love that is because it's an self-experiment, and it's a way of starting to discover what your nutritional style is and which foods are a problem for you.
Today's guest is Hal Elrod.
My look at it is this, is that optimism is focusing on what's possible. It's focusing on the positive, and it doesn't solve all your problems. So when I give speeches, I always tell the audience, I go, look, we could all sit here and meditate on our bank account balance growing, and I bet you if we all checked it, it would be the exact same. That's my guess, right? So positive thinking doesn't magically solve all your problems. My belief is it puts you in the best possible mental, physical, and emotional space to solve your problems, to create optimum results in your life.
And it's Grace Liu.
And our body has probably harbored gut flora that have co-evolved to eat starches, because we've only been cooking for almost 1.8 million years. And potatoes always kind of creep me out in a way to eat a raw one, you know?
Yeah, eating raw potato doesn't seem very natural for some reason.
Have you noticed that no livestock get potatoes?
Yep. Well, they don't actually get raw kale either, come to think of it.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder why that is.
Isn't it? Well, kale's not expensive, maybe, but potatoes are cheap.
No, if you try and feed kale to a horse, the horse won't eat it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's because of the oxalic acid.
Yeah. Potatoes have a lot of trypsin inhibitors. So the best way we want to get sarcopenic would be to eat a raw potato over time. They always cause protein malnourishment, and in livestock, it'll eventually cause, you know, pancreatic adenoma, hypertrophy, cancer.
Is Jeffrey Smith.
You take a gene from one species, as you described, and you insert it or forcibly insert it into a DNA of another species. So, for example, let's say you want to create a corn plant engineered to produce its own toxic insecticide. You might take BT, which is Bacillus thuringiensis bacteria, which produces a toxin called BT toxin that's known to break open the stomachs of insects to kill them. Then you take the gene that produces the toxin out of the bacterium, make millions of copies, put it into a gun, shoot the gun into a plate of millions of corn cells, clone those cells into plants, and voila, now every single cell of every single corn plant that you just genetically engineered has a gene-sized spray bottle producing a toxin that breaks open the stomach of insects to kill them.
And I'm on site with Dr. Dwight Jennings.
Go back and talk a little about the sensory zone from here to here and ear to ear is your trigeminal nerve. And what's special about the trigeminal nerve is it has 100 times more dense pain fibers than any other nerve in your body.
So you feel pain in your jaw long before you feel it in your elbow?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But when this function gets disturbed this, in this region.
This function for people listening in their cars, this function meaning around your face.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, dysfunction within the trigeminal distribution area leads to an elevated pain neurotransmitter called substance P. And substance P is a major, probably the most major modulator of inflammatory response in the body. It's a very strong stimulator of cytokine release.
Today's guest is James Swanwick.
And I went and had a breakfast at the International House of Pancakes that was sort of adjacent to this hotel. And I opened up the menu, and the menu had photos of all of the food that they were serving, these big, bright, nasty colors. And I looked over, and there were these two huge, overweight Americans there stuffing their face with this food. And the two drinks that I had the night before just made me feel kind of ill. And it was just a particularly bad hangover. And so I just said to myself there and then, I said, you know what? I'm going to see if I can beat my record of 30 days. I'm just going to see if I can go to the 35 days. So let's just see how we go. So I began that day. I got to 35 and said, wow, I've lost about 10 pounds of fat. My skin's better. I'm sleeping better. I'm more productive. I'll just keep going. And then I got to 40 days. And I said, I'll see if I can get to 50 days. Then it was, I'll see if I can get to 3 months. And I got to 3 months and I realized that the quality of my relationships was better. I had better friends, nicer friends. I wasn't as irritable. My dating life was surprisingly good, actually. I was meeting a higher quality of woman. So I just went, I'll just keep going. I got to 6 months. And then I said, I wonder if I can go a year. So I went to 12 months.
Today's guest is Helen Erlin.
Erlin syndrome is basically looking at the fact that there are people today who, because we're so high-tech and we're living with fluorescent lights and computer screens and high-def television sets and whiteboards in schools, computer screens where you have to look into fluorescent lighting and reading and doing visually intensive activities, that's all what we're doing. We're not outside, we're not agricultural anymore. That there are people who, as a result of that, are under stress. Their brain is under stress, and that's triggering an array of physical symptoms and distortions that they may not be aware of that affects performance, attention, concentration, and their immune system, which would be creating fatigue for some people.
And I'm on site with Dr. Dwight Jennings.
So even if I'm like, I don't allow my jaw to do this. See how it falls back? We don't want that to happen, so I do this. If I do clench, I'm not going to be wearing my teeth down. And even if I just totally relax, like these guys, these metal tabs keep my jaw from doing that, which is why I can sleep on my back, which isn't a great idea if you're not doing this, or I can sleep on my side. Same thing, it's going to hold my jaw in position, which means all night long, do I get more efficient sleep? Yeah. Do I get more blood in my brain? Yeah. When there's more blood flow in the brain, there's more oxygen. When there's more oxygen, the mitochondria can do their job better. The mitochondria control the glymphatic recirculation system, which happens at night, that drains cerebrospinal fluid that contains cellular waste products. So is sleep efficiency controlled by your bite guard? To some extent, yeah, it is.
Today's guest is Alan Cash.
Low acetate to mice. And what they found is an increase in mitochondrial density in the brain. And the little power plants that power your brain, that power your thoughts. They also found the brain was able to uptake glucose at a much higher level. So not only are we building more power plants, we're providing more fuel into the cells to power the brain. And then we saw a decrease in inflammation in the brain, which is always a good thing. And the last thing they saw in the paper was an increase in the number of neurons that were produced in the hippocampus.
Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.